So with the farewell tour being such a big deal, how do you decide on, you know, O Brother and Animals as leaders to come out with you?
First it's like who is available. We actually had just done a tour a few months back with O Brother, and sometimes it would be a little bit strange to tour with a band again so quickly, but they're such good dudes and they are an amazing band, and it was just awesome to have them out. And then also Animals as Leaders, Riley had showed them to us a while back. Riley's our drummer. And they were available and seemed like awesome guys, and it's been great. It's a really diverse show too, so it's cool to have like all these different, it's similar-esque genres of music. They all tie together, but it's not like you're watching like the same thing all night. It's cool.
All right. So how to settle on a set list for a farewell tour? Do you choose songs that you specifically think fans will enjoy or that you enjoy playing? Hopefully you enjoy playing everything, but...
It's not always the case. No, we actually put a poll up online on our site and let people pick. We basically just took like the top two or three of every record and are playing that. So, it's literally, fan selected.
Yeah, we didn't cut any corners, and if you didn't get to vote and you're not seeing something you wanted us to play, it's your fault. Well, maybe it's our fault for not letting more people know about the poll somehow. I don't know how you let people know that that's happening, but
knocking their doors and being
Yeah.
So, was the decision to go on an indefinite hiatus a long time in the making, or did it just come out of, nowhere, in a way? Was it just, a sudden thing?
I feel like it's been kind of building in a weird way. I myself have a family. I have two kids, a third on the way, actually. Dustin's got three daughters. We've been doing this for long time. We've been a band for almost 14 years now. Been touring, pretty consistently. Touring or making a record constantly for the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
So it's been, it's been like a really kind of constant go, 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 go kind of thing. It's totally bittersweet. I was talking to my wife about it before the tour. It couldn't be any more extreme, at least for me personally, the bittersweetness of it. Because it gets rough, obviously, touring and being away from home as much as we are.
Ow! I got shot! No,
yeah, when you have children, just even having a girlfriend or even a wife or whatever makes it difficult. And you have children that really need you around in the mix, and it really makes it difficult. So, it's just like really, really extreme emotional bittersweet for me. It's funny. We were actually just watching a Bad Religion thing last night, and they were saying, what the interviewer asked them, what's the key to your longevity? They've been a band for
30 years.
Forever. Yeah.
30 years, yeah.
So, and they were saying, it was... they think now in retrospect it was like that they have other things going, which I thought was kind of it kind of made me think a little bit. And so I think we're really intentional calling it a hiatus. We're not breaking up.
Yeah.
So
all right, so Major Minor has been said to be a sort of continuation of the progress that you made with Beggars. To a listener, that would seem to be a more concise and direct style of songs without an overarching concept or theme. Were you intentionally concentrating on writing great standalone tracks without having to make them conform to any restrictions that were in place before, or did the songs just evolve that way?
I think the songs just evolved. We've had a extremely rough last 3 years. I mean, right up to just before this tour, we've all lost family members. And just, I'm trying to tie this into how the record was made. Like, I don't think there was a lot of, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, there wasn't a lot of musical exploration that was happening within the time in between records. It was more just like
more
dealing
natural
with crazy things in life, and the music was an escape. And I think that it strangely shows in this record, because when we were talking about writing the record, we were talking about making it maybe a bit heavier and a bit darker than Beggars was. And it oddly ended up being almost opposite of that in some ways. Like, I think some of the parts in the record are heavier than anything we've done, but also there's a lot more, you know, happy moments or something in the songs. And I think that's like a lot of product, or it's a product of what we've been going through, like, emotionally. And even, I mean, the album title has to do with that. Tepe, actually, the working title of one of the riffs that he ended up making when we worked with it, it had these major minor shifts, and we're like, oh, that kind of like applies to life. Like, you know, you go through these crazy ups and downs, and we had been going through a lot of that, and it's just what happens. And I think that's kind of always how we've done things. It's just like, Even with the Alchemy Index stuff, like, we had a concept in mind, but a lot of what was coming out of us was just natural, and following that rather than trying to really, like, guide yourself to writing a certain way or whatever, just, you know, kind of putting out what is real.
Okay.
Yeah. Long-winded answer for
that.
That's
longer than that, that's cool.
And since Major Minor was such a critical and hopefully commercial success, do you feel like it was a culmination of your growth and a good way to leave the band, or at least temporarily?
You mean, wait, the...
kind of going on hiatus on a high note.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, I don't think we're necessarily trying to go out on a high note. It's awesome that people have liked the record to where it feels like that.
I mean, I think it goes back to, like, what you were saying, is we never, might be kind of hard to believe, but we've never really written with any agenda. You know, we've never, you know, every record is a little bit different or whatever, but it's never been an intentional thing. We've always kind of just done what we wanted to do. And so I think this record's not any different. You know, we weren't trying to set out to make an impression because we knew it was going to be the last one for a while or whatever. We just kind of did what we did, and that's what it was. So, yeah.
At least for the first few albums, maybe all of them, I read that you donate a portion of the proceeds to charity. So how do you get four people to agree on one charity at a given time? And was that something you continued to do throughout the existence of Thrice?
We did it. It started when we signed to Subsidy Records, which is the first label we were on. It's just kind of the way that label worked, is, and it's part of what we were drawn to. When we signed to them, we had a choice between Subsidy Records and Hopeless Records. It's just the same thing, just Subsidy is kind of a more, you know, charitable side of it, I guess. And so what they did was a portion of the proceeds of every record went to a charity of the band's choice. And we were drawn to that, so, you know, we signed to them. We started with that, did a couple records on Hopeless, and we liked it. We felt like it was something that was part of our band, so we tried to continue to do it. We made the switch to Island Records and then to Vagrant. And we did it up until the Alchemy Index. And, you know, it just kind of got harder. Your Subsidy was set up to be that way. And then the other two records we were, or record labels, we were kind of just forcing them, in a sense, to do it. So ever since the Alchemy Index, we've stopped doing it. But, you know, it's always a very close thing to our hearts, and I think is part of the band. You know, it's become part of what we do. So we, you know, we still work really closely with a lot of charities, Invisible Children obviously being one of them. And so, you know, now we're not, every record, like a portion of the proceeds from there on isn't going to a charity, but we've been, I guess, kind of made like a silent pact or whatever to continue to carry that on, in a sense.
We noticed the van out there. All right, so as your careers have gone on, it seems that the band has become more and more self-sufficient in terms of production. That's all tefe there. What sort of freedom has that afforded you?
I think it's nice just to know that we can do it. Yeah. You know, for Major Minor, we actually worked with a good friend of ours, Dave Schiffman. But that was also a pretty intentional decision. But it's nice to know, like, you know, if we ever were to make another record or whatever, we could do it ourselves if we didn't have a label to back us. Or, you know, we just, it's nice to know that we could do it. It's also, I think, pretty freeing to, like, we've done a lot of little things like B-sides or, you know, recorded a song for something or whatever. Just to have the freedom to be able to record whenever we want is nice. Yeah.
I think it's also cool. In a lot of situations when you're recording with producers and engineers, like, there's a bit of a hesitancy to maybe try something that you might think is a dumb idea. Like, you're like, you know, it's the whole, like, there are no dumb questions or whatever. Like, when you're recording and there's a time limit and all this stuff, you'll be like, shoot, what if we do, maybe I shouldn't say that. There's none of that when you're recording yourself, or I would hope that there's none of that. Yeah. But I think it made us a lot more knowledgeable about recording, too. Not just, like, Tepe, who did, like, amazing job and learned a lot of stuff about engineering and recording and mixing and doing all that, but also us being like, oh, like, we can totally, like, you know, use a demo and just put that into the record and make it sound, you know, just right, because sometimes you can't copy that. Like, there are no rules that sometimes you think exist when you're maybe working with a producer or whatnot. But, it's been, it was really, really cool and freeing experience. I don't think we could have done it without Tepe putting in so much hard work either. Shrug.
The music speaks for itself. Okay. Now, Illusion of Safety is being re-released by Hopeless Records, as you mentioned, June 19th, if I recall, 10 years after the original release. Anything people need to know about it? Remastered, additional artwork, or something different about it?
I think vinyl. Remastered. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting the ability to remix it or something, but I think that ends up being...
Yeah, I think it's mostly just like a vinyl repress.
Vinyl remix.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah,
guy will be right there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just like I think it's like a 10th anniversary kind of
deal. Yeah, it's going to be in a different color vinyl than the original pressing and all that stuff.
So if you have that original yellow, you're stoked.
Tepe, since you have a home studio and are now experienced using it, do you think that you'll be willing to produce other band records in the future?
I actually just moved about a year ago. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not something I'll rule out totally, but I don't know, recording is kind of tough for me. I'm not going to say I don't enjoy it, but it's pretty grueling. And I don't like being stuck inside for hours and hours and hours, and recording studios are usually kind of caves, because just by nature, like, you have to be in a soundproofed area. There's usually no windows.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, that always freaks me out. So I can't spend too much time in the studios. But I think the more time I take away from it, the more I start to miss it. So I'm not going to say no, but it's not in the immediate plans for now.
Yeah.
Is your side project Black Unicorn still active, and will you be focusing on that now?
Definitely not. It's so funny that people even know about that. That was literally like just me and our old guitar tech Chris. He's a good friend of ours. We were on tour, one tour. I think it was a Taste of Chaos tour, like in 06 or 07 or something. Yeah, it was just one tour, and we were messing around in the back lounge writing kind of silly songs. And we got home, we had like a few month break, and so we just recorded it. And that's pretty much all that was, yeah.
All right, and a friend of mine was given a wallet that you actually made, Tepe, and he's really enjoying it very much. When did you start Truman, or is it Truman, handcrafted, and what got you into leatherworking?
Actually, touring got me into it, yeah. Ed and I have been talking. I guess we haven't been talking, have we? I don't know. Both of us have always been really kind of into working with our hands and stuff like that. And like when we first started touring in a van, like I took up knitting, he took up crocheting, just like something to do to pass the time. And so I'd gotten somehow really interested in leather crafting, and we found a leather craft store actually in Allentown, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
No. That was our second job. Mm. It was in Minnesota somewhere. It was near one of the venues, and I just picked up a bunch of tools and started doing it on the bus, and that was kind of it. And I just started selling stuff online maybe about a year ago now. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, excellent. All right, so Eddie, going back to Beggars for a moment, you had a hand in the lyrical content of the song We Move Like Swing Sets. What inspired you to, you know, contribute in a different way?
I think we've always, you know, wanted Dustin to have, like, the lyrics be his own because they're, you know, he's going to be singing them every night. Like, you feel it, you sing it, you know, like, that whole thing. But, We all write guitar parts and everything, you know. Like Riley, our drummer, will write guitar parts. Tepe will write a drum part. Like it all happens. And I had written this demo that was just like acoustic guitar, and then me singing and doing some oohs and ahs and that sort of stuff. And the line that I had written was, we move like swing sets, and it had kind of dealt with issues that I had had with a girlfriend that frustrated me, I guess. And I was like, oh yeah, like I have this part. I really like this part. Here's these lyrics, kind of. What can we make from it? And then kind of like went back and forth about what was the name of the song?
Talking Through Glass.
Talking Through Glass is, yeah, ended up being like the song that correlated with the acoustic part that I had written. It was cool just like kind of getting an idea out and putting it to song. Yeah.
Eddie, according to a recent interview, you said that you were going to start a musical project with your brother Riley. Are there any details you'd like to share about that and what people can expect from it?
I don't feel like I can stop making music right away. I mean, I think since Riley and I don't have families, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of time to maybe still make music or whatnot, I think we're gonna, I mean, we've already been practicing and writing stuff, and it's exciting. I feel weird talking about it when I'm still doing this, just because I've always felt strange about doing anything at the same time when I want everything to go towards this band kind of a thing. But yeah, I mean, definitely keep your ear to the internet or something. We'll have something out. Yeah.
answer one more question you want to ask.
One tour memory both of you will, each of you will carry with the rest of your lives. If something pops up.
Good, bad.
Yeah. It's hard because there's so many.
It's pretty broad, yeah. I don't know. We've toured for so long.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick one.
I would say our first U.S. tour, full U.S. tour that we did, I think we met some amazing people. It was, it was a tour with Hot Water Music and Cave-In and Alkaline Trio and a band called the Sylvie Tigers and a guy named Mike Park. And it was this Take Action Plea for Peace tour. And I'll always remember that because everything was new and, and we were surrounded by such amazing musicians and people, and they kind of really showed us the ropes as far as this is how you do this, this is how you have fun, this is how you treat other bands. It was really inspiring and just awesome time. I feel like I remember moments of that tour more vividly than I remember some of our tours in the middle, just because it was
huge.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yes, that's that as far as the questions.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.